You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Julie.
Before you press play, I just pretended that I was frozen on the screen.
I saw that. And I'm like, is she just messing with me? But I was like, wow, she really looks frozen. And then you went, ha ha. And I'm like, oh,
it's the Botox. So, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Other than the eyeballs. So how the hell are you?
Well, I'll tell you what, girl. Fantastic news. Gender 101. An A to Z handbook and exploration by the lovely Savannah Hawk is now available for pre-order on Amazon for ebook. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Nice.
Yes. Finally, after all these months and months and months. Yeah, it'll be out for paperback and full on receipt of your ebook on May 15th.
Wow.
Yeah. So I spent this weekend and last weekend going through the arduous task of pre-publication with Amazon and KDP. It's a grind, and I always hate to do it, but I'm excited to be out the other side. So yeah, the book is ready for pre-order. So for any of our audience listening and excited, please go to Amazon and look for Gender 101 by Savannah Hawk. And...
all right, I'm going to do it right now. Let's see. Uh-oh. On air.
Oh, shoot. Now.
Amazon.com. Okay, I'm there. Now what? Talk me to the steps.
Well, okay.
You know, like, just describe.
Sure.
Now
so
type
do
in.
A search for Gender 101 and then Savannah Hawk, and it should pop up.
Savannah. Let's see how many letters of your name I have to do before it pops up.
Oh, no. You'll have to hit go or enter.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to click on the search.
Yep.
And then, oh, I see it. All right. Now I'm going to go like this. I'm going to click on it. Oh, it's just available for the Kindle.
It is. Yeah. For some reason, whatever it is, and I have not figured it out, you cannot pre-order the paperback.
Good to know, peoples. Because I will not be ordering it on the Kindle because I don't have a Kindle. But as soon as it's available, see, I'm going to be your promoter. As okay. soon as it's available on book, I'll order it and then I'll let all of you know.
All right. And also, you can do, there are Kindle compatible apps that you can download something from Kindle and it will work in your Kindle compatible app.
Like, so what is a Kindle, really? It's just a small little iPad.
Yeah, it's just something you can see from through that Kindle account on your phone or iPad. And that's really all it is. Or if you have a Kindle reader.
I guess this is a Kindle lifestyle that I'm not ready for yet.
So the next step is I still have to do the non-Amazon e-publishing. That's next on my list of to-dos. And then the book will be done. And I ordered my author copy, so that'll be coming into the mail to make sure I didn't flub it somewhere, some way, while looking at the actual book. But yeah, super excited after a long last I have it done.
You have yet again circled around my son with something that I have not done yet, but I'm completely capable of.
Yes.
There's a book inside all of us, people. All of us.
I always say that it's not necessarily a book. It could be a poem, an essay. It could be
a poem. I want to make some Benjamins, even if it's $5.99, okay? A poem, please. What do I get? It's not about the money, but, you know, making money while you sleep is lovely because I got a new king-size bed.
So when you came back to your home after the renovations and you failed to disclose, you got a king-sizer. Is it a California king? Because
I don't know if it's a California king. I'm in California. It's a king. That's all you need to know. And all I know is I've skipped most of my morning walks. Mm-hmm. I have slept in. I have stayed up very long. I'm on spring break, people, and it's coming to a close tomorrow. But I have really taken advantage of my new luxurious bed. It's like hard enough. It's hard because I like it harsh. But hold on. Let me turn off my phone. Hey, Zod, I can't talk to you because I'm on air at the Fox and Phoenix podcast. Bye.
Wow. So,
sorry. Boundaries. Okay. Sorry. Oh, that was silly. Let me turn off my ringer. All right. How many years have we been doing this podcast?
And I think you've only been interrupted by a call maybe twice.
Exactly. Yeah. So whatever. Keep it. Don't keep it. You're keeping it.
I'm keeping it. You know.
All right. Back to my luxurious bed that I'm staring at right now.
Okay.
It is amazing. And I don't know. I haven't done any of my walks. I think of any excuse to sleep. And then I realized this luscious soft topper mattress with a very hard interior, this represents my depression lifestyle, really. Because I think after a certain time of sleeping all day and wanting to just be in your bed, it starts to look like depression, feel like depression, and be depression. So, you know, you recognize the problem, you move on. So speaking of recognizing the problem and moving on, what is our episode today, dear heart?
Well, my truest, it is something we had mentioned on our Coming Down from Keystone episode, where I had encountered a lovely young person who came to my workshop because they didn't know anything about cross-dressing, but have been on hormones for close to a decade, I believe they had mentioned. So they were about to be 30. And they said, yeah, I don't know about this thing called cross-dressing. And my brains exploded and they started dribbling out my eyes and ear holes. Yeah, and I was like, wait, oh yeah. I was like, wait, what? How is it possible that somebody who is your age all of a sudden telling me is, yeah, I don't know what cross-dressing is either. I'm like, you just told me you're expressing as trans. What is it? Cross-dressing part of that experience? And I just, my mind just short-circuited with the idea of this leapfrogging of data, of this leapfrogging of experience that did not necessitate the need of what would be labeled as cross-dressing to find your transness. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us growing up in the last century, from the 50s to the early aughts of this century, where we're all like, oh yeah, we are cross-dressers. We label ourselves as cross-dressers, and we didn't understand cross-dressing is not the thing we are, but the thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are still discovering what our transness is. Here's this young person going, yeah, I know my transness. I didn't use cross-dressing to get there. So what?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I have to say is,
right. Yeah, it's interesting because just from our style questionnaire at Fox and Hanger, it didn't say cross-dressing style questionnaire. It said MTF style questionnaire. And for whatever reason, I still, as I'm formulating the words and thinking about this, I don't know why it was necessary for me to change it, but I changed it to the trans style questionnaire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fully aware of the times that we live in compared to where you and I were when we started this podcast, and felt like trans is. And this is so ironic because you and I had what I call the hardest episode which is where I had a very specific concept and idea of what trans was for me, right? Where you were coming at it as an overarching theme.
Mm-hmm.
For me, just the fact that I felt the need that the times that we live in were this kind of overarching trans definition just speaks to where we are, speaks to this, I don't want to say young person because whatever, they're not my age, but I'm 44. This idea of like leapfrogging past the whole cross-dressing experience, which from your perspective and from my understanding and my relearning, sees cross-dressing as very much a porthole into that world as that's where it starts, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Wrong.
No, yeah, what?
That's not where it starts for everyone. And I need to remember my beginnings of understanding of transness. But some people just don't have this cross-dressing experience as their flashlight into the authenticity of who they are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Because in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, that was me. I didn't know the word trans in terms of anything other than transvestite. So the right. transgender nomenclature and mainstreaming of that vernacular was completely beyond me. Maybe it existed, and yes, I'm sure it did exist, but didn't exist in my ears or in my knowledge base. So therefore, everything I did from 1978 to 1996 was all transvestic. And then it was like, icky, gross, I will use crossdresser because that makes the most sense. Because I didn't know I was trans. I didn't know there was a duality to my gender. None of that made any impact on my ears. So therefore, I only had what I had to work with. So now we flash forward to this person who I believe is around 30. So they grew up, they were born in 96, let's say, or 98. Right. And therefore, when it got into the formative years or their teenage years, they're hearing trans all the time.
Right.
So they can all of a sudden say, they're not hearing crossdresser all the time. They're hearing trans. And they're like, oh, I know what that label is. Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. So they didn't have this exploration in a closet. Maybe they still grew up in a very closeted way because we didn't discuss that. But the idea that like they didn't need to look at this one term of transvestism or crossdressing because the word they heard and really resonated, and a term that resonated with them, was the trans experience. And it really is indicative of how far we've come in terms of knowing thyself in that way so much easier now with these next generations. Whereas growing up when I did, there was very little information that I could associate myself to. And therefore, I was saddled with these labels that in reality are not true to my being as I work to get them now.
Right. And it poses a question. Is like the word cross-dressing just like headed towards
oblivion? Oblivion.
Dinosaur term?
It may be. And maybe that would be for the best.
And maybe we're not going to change the intro just to stand in solidarity with the people of a certain age bracket, if that's the way it's measured, let's say, who have used cross-dressing as a porthole to accept their transness or not. Yeah. There are people listening right now that very much identify with themselves as a cross-dresser, not as an action, but as a noun or as a word to describe them. And we accept that. Just in the same way you and I are very open-minded that if, I don't know if I would, but you would, if someone says that they're a chinchilla, they're a freaking chinchilla. I don't know. Furries. That's a mystery. We could do a whole episode on that.
And I know you want to.
I really want to, because you have ruined my vision.
I know. I felt so bad that I ruined it for you.
Whatever. Identities. What we're talking about. We're talking about identities. And transness and the word crossdresser. And to me, crossdresser still holds water and will as long as I'm doing this podcast.
And I would agree with that. I really do. Do I think it's going to become, I have to backpedal because it's such, oh my God, it's such a weird thing. I've spent a decade trying to normalize the word crossdresser in a way in my books, in this podcast, in my writings, in my workshopping that, crossdresser is normal. So many people do it.
It's an action.
And then, it's an action, but it's still important to know what it is and then use that as a springboard of understanding who you are at your core and why you do it. Yes, all that is true. And then to hear this, if you look at the graph, I'm trying to raise awareness and spike. And then all of a sudden, the millennials and the post-millennials and the Gen A's are coming back down. We don't need that term because we got all this other stuff figured out already at the jump. And I'm like, what? So apparently I'm just a blip, but that's
I mean, just the fact that you and I have very different opinions about the term crossdresser and how it holds space for both of us in terms of how we see people and what is true. And I know you accept however people identify. You're not going to, you're not going to be like, I need to sit down, grab a chair, lady, because I'm going to tell you it's an action. You're not like that. I'm just saying just in our kind of different opinions around that. And then there's the idea that who the fuck cares? There, I said it. Bickety fuck. Remember when you couldn't stop me? I know. Remember when I used to swear like a lot? Those were the days. Well, listen, the truth of the matter is, as long as you have followers, as long as you have sales, as long as you have people that you inspire that are saying to you, thank you so much. This book has really helped me. that's your tribe. That's your crew. You know, if every time I nothing, because I realized that a few years into my business that I may not be trans, but I'm talented and I have a perspective and knowledge base. And you know who taught me that? The freaking crossdressers of the world. What?
Mm-hmm.
I was accepted 100% by this tribe. Whereas when I would go on the different trans groups, I would feel obviously not trans enough because I'm not trans. Right. And the last thing people want is some cis woman coming on in trying to help their experience, to which I have no right to be there, to which it is not my experience. Right. Mm-hmm. Even if it's my knowledge base and if male to female transformation is something that I'm very passionate about, I'm good at it. I don't know why it's my thing, but it's my thing. It's my secret genius, whatever, call you what it will. I don't have a parent that was trans. I don't have anything that makes me say I don't know what I'm trying to say, but basically in a nutshell, as soon as I realize that there is an entire fringe group that sees me, that hears me, that not only benefits from the fact that I'm a cis woman, but wants more of that, wants a key to that club, wants to know. And as soon as I got comfortable being like, okay, this is the tribe, then others of different trans iterations came to be. And right now it is definitely a lot more people that identify as trans than not, but it has shifted all over the place. Yeah. So to get back to the point at hand, and that's don't adjust yourself for certain people you meet because of this leapfrog idea.
Oh, yeah. I don't adjust anything about myself and my own experience. I find it fascinating because, you know, I love social dynamics.
Right.
And so this interaction with this person was freaking amazing and really got my brain going. I'm not saying that all of a sudden cross-dressing as a label is going to disappear. It could, and maybe it should. I don't know. Because again, it's misleading for a lot of people's identities, I believe. I did for myself for 2 decades. I was thinking I was very one thing until I really started reassessing. I'm like, well, yeah, but why do I do it? Not like why in my brain do I do it? Because I don't think we're going to know in our lifetimes what chemical things are causing us to want to do this.
Right.
But to the connection of the whys and how often do I wake up thinking one way and wake up thinking differently the next day? Like all those combinations, I think is important to explore. While our listenership, I could probably take maybe 80% of our listenership has gone through the, I realized I was a crossdresser, ... are doing more exploration. And for people who are in a younger demographic, they didn't need to say I'm a crossdresser. They said, oh, look at all these trans terms. I really feel like those resonate with me in some way, shape, or form. Not realizing that, yes, if they are putting on the garments of the opposite biology, that's still cross-dressing in a description sort of way, in a very surface level sort of way. But yeah, I just thought it was fascinating, this idea that one doesn't need to start like myself to find the next.
Right.
And I think that's a beautiful, positive thing, honestly. For people to get to where it took me 50 some years to realize, partially with the books, partially conversating with you, partially self-assessing, to be able to come to that at 20 years old, God bless. I mean, that's fantastic. I wish I had that ability or I had that option to know those things when I was 20. Would it have changed my trajectory? I don't know. But I know that knowing that would have led me in different directions. And I think it's great that people can start earlier and find that faster, which I think is really what you and I are doing for the people who listen to us, helping them to have that conversation more readily, more quickly, being able to find the language quicker. So while a 20-year-old might be finding it on the internet by themselves super quick, you and I are also providing that same service in a way that people can say, oh, yeah, I get that. I understand that. I see that. And then taking that to heart.
And it's so amazing to me in this generation where kind of social media and influencers and who you follow, you will get more information. And that's literally the box no pun intended, but the rectangle for which we get our information and we live. And someone, whether this person is 20 or 30, that is just how they're getting their information. To me, as someone who has also lived outside the rectangle, I think it's shocking that they've never heard of the term crossdresser, to be quite honest. But then I remember that they're 30, okay, or they're 20. And if this phone, if the rooms that you're in, if the people that you're following are not using that term crossdresser, how would you hear it?
Yeah. Yep.
And I have to acknowledge that this is where the younger generation, and I mean younger than 44, as I'm processing the statement, 34 is different. 14 is certainly different. But like it's just radical in terms of how we get our information these days, the younger generation, and how it shapes our identity and blocks out certain terms like cross-dressing that have been around for a while. I want to say that. And I also want to say, and furthermore, I also want to say that the term cross-dressing has been used on RuPaul's Drag Race this season. I've heard it at least 3 times. And it was used as a porthole for them to discover that they love drag.
Right.
Now, I have been watching the show from its infancy, and I have never heard that because I just haven't. You know, when I started watching it, it was a gay man's sport. And then things shifted over the past 3 to 4 years.
Right.
5 years even, with transness being brought into the show and brought into the narrative of, wow, drag can really be a porthole for you to realize your femininity. But no. This season, cross-dressing. They use the term. I was pretty blown away, to be honest.
Nice.
Even if it was something so, of course it does. Of course, it's so natural. But why is it now that someone is just using cross-dressing as, you know what I mean?
I hear it. And here's what I'll say. Thank you, RuPaul, for listening to our podcast. Maybe we were the ones. Maybe I were the ones to raise that consciousness.
Nope.
I'm going to say yes.
No way.
Just because I mean,
the ripple effect. Do you think the butterfly effect, maybe?
Yes. I want to send that ripple out into the world, manifest it, that she listens. It was like, huh, I get that. It'd be like, boom, we did our jobs. So this conversation, we don't have a lot of depth to, as you said, you're 44, I'm 53, and, you know, we don't really know.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Did you say Schmiffney-free?
I did.
Wait, 53?
Yeah.
And I'm 44.
We're old at this.
No, I'm not old, and you're not old. You're the youngest you'll ever be. In this moment, you're the youngest.
That's true. Also, oldest in this moment, I'm also the oldest I've ever been. So, you know, it goes both ways. But I appreciate your optimism.
Oh, yeah, you're the youngest positivity. Wait. You're the youngest you've ever been. I mean, you've been younger.
No, I think what you mean is in this moment, you'll never be this young again. I think it's what you meant.
Yes, it is.
So, hey, it's cool. I am embodying and accepting myself in this age, in this era for myself. And it's cool because I've done so much. Yes.
Sorry, you stare at me as I have a hand raised. I want to say something before I forget it. I can't tell you how many people, all right, it's been 5, have said to me, wow, I never thought about the term dual gender until Savannah said it.
Oh,
for myself. And it really applies. I've collected them over the years. And at this point, it's 5. But I hear someone say it, I always just think, huh.
So
talk about a ripple effect. This is a term that I'm not saying you founded by any means.
No.
But I do feel like it has had a significant influence on my vocabulary and how I describe you and our listenership. How they describe you, how they think of themselves, and the fact that this can be an option for them. When you say dual gender, just the term, it just feels so much freer than, let's say, saying I'm trans 5 years ago. Because with the trans word, first of all, highly provocative, it's political, it's clickbait, it's all the things that stir up, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Hormone. There's just so much that 5 years, I'm going to use 5 years ago, it was scary. It was a lot. And probably today it's a lot. I just come in a certain rectangle on my phone and it doesn't feel a lot. So I'm just assuming that that's where everyone else is. not there. Hear ya. I see ya. But when someone thinks of the term dual gender, for me, it feels really kind to myself. If I was dual gender, or if I was someone who had a feminine side and a masculine side, whether the split was 50-50 or not, however it is, there's a dual part of myself that I think that is extremely valuable. I think it's extremely compassionate. And I think it's really real. And I just want to thank you for normalizing or bringing out that term, because not this scary trans term that's illegal in many states. Mm. It's not the word cross-dressing, because cross-dressing can feel closeted, maybe. Words have history, they have weights, they have triggers to it.
Yeah.
But dual gender, it feels honest. It feels complete. And it feels like something that, I don't know, if I was a significant other and my partner said that they're dual gender, it would sit different than if they said they were trans, maybe. Maybe. Mm. I don't know.
Or cross-dresser. Either. Or cross-dresser. Either extreme.
Either. Because dual gender just feels like it's inside. To me, it feels like it's inside. And it doesn't really talk about gender expression. It just feels for me like it's your heart. And inside your heart, there's two things that are true at the same time. And it just feels really soft and lovely. And if we're going to circle back to the leapfrog idea, it feels like, yes, you can leap over, you can leap over cross-dressing, you can leap over transgender to get to that space. But it also feels like you're trying on different hats to find the hat that fits.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of trans that is true. And there's a little bit of cross-dressing that's true, or maybe a lot of cross-dressing that's true. But then when you get to the idea of dual gender, to me, it just feels like the perfect term that I haven't really acknowledged as such on air before, I don't think. But I just want to thank you, because that's maybe something that you haven't realized how far it's circulated. It's honest and true for you. It has made a big impact. And I hope that it has made an impact on some of the listeners right now who are struggling to try to find how they identify.
Right. I have three comments to that.
Okay.
My first comment is, oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Number two is, I agree with you. And number three, and more importantly, while a person of trans experience can probably see dual gender as something softer, more accessible, more in tune with who they are, the one thing I was thinking about when you said it was, it's also something I think that non-trans people can relate to, because we all have you were talking about the two parts of our heart, masculine and feminine, both being true, and they can work in harmony together. Mm-hmm. That's the human experience.
Right.
Like
every
person has very feminine traits. Every human being has feminine traits and masculine traits. And sometimes we're told we're not supposed to act a certain way, but in our freedom of choice in this day and age, we can express those things. And most times without bias. It really only becomes bias when I decide to present that way, right? When I try to present in a binary feminine way, then that's where all the brakes start screeching. But if I wanted to be softer and more empathetic and more easy to cry, or I like to bake and do flower bouquets, or I want to be a manly man and go to the gym and get a 300-pound muscle physique, which seems very masculine. There's so many balanced and lovely things that happen when you accept all sides of yourself, from the masculinity and the femininity. And I think that the reason why dual gender may speak more volume to people, and like you said, be a little softer to a cis partner trying to take that information in, is that I think they, if they think about it, they can see those two sides themselves within themselves.
And I am coming from the perspective of an ally, an advocate, but a cis individual.
Yeah.
I am. Like, I can only tell you what I've heard in terms of the term dual gender. But as I think about it and as I describe it, I am not of a trans experience. So I want everyone, not everyone, but us to acknowledge that that is how I'm digesting the term. And so it makes sense to me as someone who has not gone through this, that of all the hats that I've tried on and all the years that we have worked on this podcast, that term seems to land in a different way for me. And I think that it doesn't read expression. It doesn't read hormones. It just reads the internal stuff, which obviously, you know, the external stuff is a reflection of that internal stuff. But anyways, I just wanted to make that quick point before we finish off this delicious episode, because I think it's important as we're talking about terms and all that stuff.
Appreciate the feedback. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. So this was fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today and continuing to support us every week. We really appreciate it. And yeah, do you want to say anything before I sign us off, I guess?
I think it was amazing. It was a topic of conversation that just led into a lovely discussion.
Yeah.
Had branched out into all little lovely avenues. So I'm always appreciative of that. And I hope this is one of those episodes that people can listen to and have their own conversations about it.
Yeah. Want to know what I really hope?
What?
I really hope people can have conversations in the comment section so we get to read them. Ooh. And respond to them.
Wouldn't that well, be juicy? Yes, please.
I mean, no pressure. I'm just saying, I hope that this... this episode has given you enough fat to work with. No, that's not good. I just said a lot of fat. I'm thinking of like chicken fat.
I was thinking more when you said fat, I was thinking bacon, really crispy pork chop fat, all the amazing meat products with fat on them that I just love to devour. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I completely lost track of what you were saying after that. So.
Anyways, on that note, I have Ben and Jerry's in the freezer, and that contains a lot of fat.
There you go.
F-A-T and P-H-A-T.
Nice.
Anywho, bye for now.
Until next time. That was silly. You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast, on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast, or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.